Starting next month, home buyers can see some changes to the fees associated with credit scores and down payments. The changes will apply to loans backed by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, so not all mortgages, but a majority of the mortgage market. One goal is to make home buying more affordable upfront for people with lower credit scores. How's that going to work in practice, though? Andra Gent is a professor of finance at the University of Utah, where she holds the Ivory Boyer Chair in Real Estate. She previously taught about real estate at the UW School of Business. Andra, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Can you talk us through the basics on how these fee changes will change things for people?
Yeah, so basically the way this is in getting implemented is that mortgages that the two government-sponsored entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, buy, what they're going to be doing is buying them at a different price than they had been previously. So they change these loan, they're called these loan-level price adjustment matrices periodically, and usually it's been somewhat based on the risk of the underlying loan. What's changing now in a bid to increase the opportunities for people that don't have good credit scores and the ability to pay 20% down is that the change in the pricing now is actually it's getting more expensive. It's going to be more expensive for higher down payments, higher credit score borrowers, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to pay a lower price for these loans, essentially. And so this is going to get reflected in slightly higher rates for higher credit score, higher down payment borrowers.
So right now, there's kind of a reward for having a high credit score. You pay a lower fee here up front, and there's a bigger penalty for people at the lower end. That's still going to be true partly. It's just going to be less extreme on either end. There's less of a reward for high credit score, less of a penalty for low credit score. Is that a reasonable way to assess this?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So previously, the way they did this pricing was based on the risk of default. And now they seem to be introducing a different, because they have a different policy goal, it's no longer just based on the risk of default. So it's shifting, basically, it's making it cheaper for these, what we would consider higher default risk borrowers to get a loan. And making it a little bit more expensive for the lower credit risk borrowers. Now, but you're right, Rob. It doesn't mean that in absolute terms it's more expensive to get a loan. It's just relatively more expensive to get a loan now than it was for high credit borrowers.
Now, as I understand it, one of the goals here is to say, okay, person with a lower credit score, here's a thing that's going to make those upfront fees a little more affordable. It's going to make housing a little more affordable for you. But this is just one part of the cost of home buying. Is this something you see making a big difference when it comes to affordability?
You know, on the margin, it helps. I don't think it's the best policy to increase affordability for the bottom half of the income distribution, which is where this is aimed at. And, you know, obviously, it also only benefits those people who are seeking home ownership. It doesn't really help out people who choose to stay renters or for whatever reason, can't put together even a small down payment to become a homeowner. So I'm not sure it's a great policy to encourage homeownership. But I think, to your point, Rob, I don't think it's enough at the margin to really make a big difference for those people.
Talking to Andrew.
The other thing I would point out, Rob, I suspect it's pretty easy to get around these changes. So even more so now than ever, because these are kind of discrete buckets. The pricing changes occur at. So you might try to put down instead of 20%, try 19.9%. And then you get your PMI for, private mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. Typically, if you don't put 20% down and you're in the sort of conforming loan market, so stuff that Fannie and Freddie can buy, if you have to buy private mortgage insurance. But you can cancel the private mortgage insurance once you get up to 20% down. So you may be able to get around this relatively easily.
We're talking to Andra Gent, real estate expert and professor at the University of Utah, looking at a small-ish change when it comes to housing affordability and how some of the upfront fees work when you're getting a mortgage. Let's expand to some of the wider issues in the housing market, Andra. We've been hearing for a long time now, high costs of housing in many communities around Wisconsin and around the United States, pricing a lot, especially first-time home buyers, out of the market. but you rent instead. Well, bad news. Rents are pretty high in a lot of those same communities. We've seen interest rates going up from the Federal Reserve. How has that been affecting housing prices for rental and buying and availability?
Yeah, great question, Rob. So we've had sort of a decades-long decrease in housing affordability that got really bad during the pandemic as people anticipated more work from home going forward. So there was this big shift away from the demand for commercial space to residential space. Because if you're going to work at home 2 or 3 days a week, most of us want a little bit more than a kitchen table to do that. And the rise in interest rates, unfortunately, it does put further pressure on rents. Even as house prices might kind of be stabilizing or coming down a little bit, a lot of the people who might have become homeowners, they're now not able to qualify for a mortgage. And so now they're in the rental market. They're staying in the rental market longer than they might have. And so that puts even more pressure on rents. That's in the short term, but unfortunately, there's even bad news in the long term because rental housing supply, the developers are also facing these higher rates. They're facing higher interest rates, which means it's harder for them to finance new construction, which means that longer term, we're going to have kind of a few years of a little bit lower new housing supply as well.
Okay, so we started talking, Andrea, about this federal policy that you said, you know, might help some people on the margins. If we wanted to tackle some of these issues head on, let's start with rental costs. First of all, is there a federal policy tool that might help deal with high rental costs in a variety of communities?
Yeah, so great question. We do have federal programs to help renters. The main ones are the low-income housing tax credit, which is a supply-side credit. And then the other is the voucher program. This is a Section 8 voucher program that gives some low-income households, a credit towards the rent. Basically, the government pays for some fraction of their rent. I think the policy, if we're really concerned about housing affordability for the bottom half of the income distribution, which is I think where the biggest problems are, we're probably better to spend less on the mortgage interest deduction. So as you know, Rob, the vast majority of homeowners right now get to deduct the mortgage interest that they're paying on their home mortgage. That's actually our biggest housing affordability program at the federal level is the mortgage interest deduction. It's not low-income housing. So I guess from a policy standpoint, rather than tinkering around with these what the GSEs buy mortgages at, I would rather see the federal government tinker around with what subsidies we're giving for housing affordability and maybe a little bit less on the mortgage interest deduction with more federal spending on the low-income housing tax credit and the Section 8 voucher program.
How about on the supply side of housing? Because it seems like in some places there just aren't enough units, and that's part of what's driving prices up. Is there a way to incentivize the creation of just a bigger supply?
It's a great question. You're absolutely right. We've got to focus on the supply side overall, not just government subsidized supply. There's some barriers at the local level. And this is a lot of sort of classic NIMBYism where communities object to any new housing supply because, oh, it's not actually dedicated affordable, or it doesn't look nice, or I don't want renters living near me. There's, you know, every community has their share of NIMBYs that block new housing supply. But that's really not a federal issue. That's something that really states have control over and municipalities. But what is a federal, I think where we've seen very little productivity improvement is in offsite construction. So if you look at how cheap your cell phone has gotten, Rob, right? If you think 20 years ago, what quality of cell phone could you get for the same price, right? And it was just, we've seen so much productivity improvement in most sectors of manufacturing, but housing construction, we just haven't seen any productivity improvement. And I think what's going on is we still don't have a lot of offsite construction. And there are some both local and federal barriers to really scaling up that sort of construction.
Offsite construction. What do we mean by that?
I'm trying to avoid manufactured housing.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the classic example. Right now, to pass code at the federal level, it has to stay on the chassis. So it has to essentially stay on this what it was built on. And then it doesn't have to go through local code. As you're probably aware, there's a lot of stigma with manufactured housing. It's often not sort of thought of as a great housing type. But there's any sort of off-site construction, so modular housing. There's a ton of companies, a lot of them are out of California, that are building sort of panelized construction. You know, there's various names for this stuff that doesn't look like your classic trailer home, but we're having problems scaling that because it still has to go through local code right now because it doesn't get to take advantage of the manufactured housing code at the federal level.
Now, I wonder how much of our policy is designed by a bias, a notion that the ideal house is a house that someone buys, and we think that's good, so we incentivize that in our local codes, in our state and federal laws. Is that a problem? Is that maybe the core of some of these problems?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely, Rob, particularly the incentives homeowners have to block new construction in their neighborhoods. We sort of call it the home voter. Once your largest asset is your home, of course you're going to object to new supply. And I think there's a lot of ways. Yeah, we do have an awful lot of subsidies for homeownership at the federal level, as well as in some cases at the state level. Yeah, I do think it's a problem. I mean, if you want to be a homeowner, that's great. I think homeownership is wonderful. There's not a lot of evidence that it actually makes us better citizens or more connected to our neighbors. The evidence on that is really, really weak. And I think my sense with the current policy on these interest rate changes, is where we started this conversation, the federal government is concerned about equity. You know, we've heard this repeatedly in the dialogue. And I think if the concern is equity, you really want to be helping out lower income renters. You want to make sure people, maybe they don't own the home, but they have somewhere stable and they're not constantly stressed about getting evicted and they can just pay less of their income towards housing costs. That just goes a long way for, you know, the bottom third to half of the income distribution.
Andrew, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Cheers, Rob.
You too. That's Andra Gent, professor of finance at the University of Utah, formerly with the UW-Madison. We talked to her about some changes coming next month to mortgage fees and who could be affected, as well as the financial state of the housing market in general.